In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray
for us. Father Antary,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius of Loyola, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a lot of movement going on now because we're doing the retreat in the midst of a very busy parish. So I just finished doing a wedding right now. So it's a very busy parish, and I have to wear about 10 hats at the same time. So I think you have to pray for the grace to be recollected in the midst of these, what's going on. You can if you want to. It really depends on you. You can find a place, interior recollection, when you encounter God. So it depends on all of you. Because you can encounter God in the busiest places in the world if you are interior, if you have a spirit of recollection. So today and tomorrow is going to be different than the other 5 days because you've got weddings, you've got baptism, you've got the music out there. So you might even pray for the grass to be deaf. Okay. Not deaf to the call of the king, but deaf to the exterior interruptions. So some of you are saying, what did you say, Father? I said to pray for the grace to be deaf, okay? Can't be done, no? St. Anthony Mary Claret said the more busy he was apostolically, the more contemplative he was. So we can be contemplative in the midst of a lot of things going on. Alright, I would like to give a catechesis on prayer. The catechism speaks about this, but what are the major obstacles for prayer? What are the major obstacles that we encounter when we decide to pray? So I'll give you a few. Okay, the first one is taken from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So when the Catechism of the Catholic Church says something, it's the highest authority you have outside the Bible, and much of the Catechism is simply commentary on the Bible itself. Are you ready? Catechism says one of the principal obstacles in prayer is laziness. So that's a universal statement, is laziness. To pray well, my friends, it takes a lot of effort and discipline. When I arrived in Argentina, my first superior said to me right away, you have to defend your prayer life. The first thing he said to me. As I was thrown into probably the busiest parish of the Oblates in South America, no? Right away. Now I'm in a parish that's even busier here, no? So right away he said to me, Father Antonio Fontana, who was my superior, make sure, tenete defender la vita di orazione, he said. You have to defend your prayer life. I mean, I've always tried to do that in 38 years. Not that I've done it perfectly, but I've always tried to place my prayer life as the most important part. First thing I do, it's an hour and a half in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Exposed. And Fulton Sheen says, make sure you have your first cup of coffee. Otherwise, I'll be agreeing with everything that I read, right? It's called the yo-yo approach. You know? So laziness, we have the capital sin of sloth. I mentioned it in my talk. Physical laziness, intellectual laziness, and spiritual laziness. And many people give up their holy hour because they're lazy. Because it takes work and effort. It's easier to sleep in, it's easier to plop in front of the television set rather than to be kneeling down on the cold marble floor fighting against distractions, huh? So laziness is one of the principal reasons. Okay, the second would be ignorance. That's why I've already given 20 brief catechesis on prayer already. Why am I doing this? Because I'm trying to educate us on prayer. It's like, for example, someone comes from maybe Korea or the Philippines or Japan, and they don't know baseball. Definitely, if you come from Korea, you have no idea. They take you to a baseball game. It's like, you know, you're another world, no? You're going to be turned off because why are they yelling? Why are those guys running around a base? Why are they throwing that baseball, no? If you don't know the sport, you're going to say, I'm going to get the heck out of here, no? Same thing you can apply to prayer. If you don't know how to pray, you don't know what prayer is, you probably don't want to do it. But once you learn the art of prayer and you're moved by the Holy Spirit, you start to relish prayer. As the psalmist says, take and see the goodness, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Okay, the third obstacle would be this. Once I say this, all of you, and I give you the example, all of you are going to be nodding your head agreeing with me, is the devil. Ever happened to you that you wanted to pray, maybe an extra rosary, and all of a sudden all these objections? You heard this, right? No. You already prayed one, okay, that's enough. Number two is do it later. Number three is you're tired, you got to get your beauty sleep, okay? As if that's going to help, okay? No offense, ladies. Why pray? You know, it's really not helping you. Why don't you go out there and help someone? Why don't you serve that poor person? No, don't. You pray there. Your husband is there with you. He's gonna call you a fanatic, huh? Una fanata, una chiflada. Yeah. So it's interesting. It'd be interesting to write down in your past when you decide to pray, all these different objections surface, and now you're aware that this came from the devil because of my talk. But when you are listening to those objections, they seem to be pretty reasonable. Because the devil is the father of lies. Jesus says he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. But you come with me, I say, where did that come from, the good spirit or the bad spirit? Aha! We're learning spiritual discernment, right? And I say the last would be related to ignorance, a lack of priorities. The learned Jesuit scholar Suarez, who had written a lot of wonderful books back about 300 years ago, said he would trade all of his literary masterpieces for the value of one Hail Mary. The value of one Hail Mary, all of his literary works. We don't recognize how important prayer is for our sanctification and for the salvation of the whole world. I tell people that don't go to Mass on Sunday. I said, what would happen if you met me in Mass tomorrow, 3 o'clock in the morning, and if you shook my hand, I would give you $5 billion. Would you come? Hello? $5 billion. You have to shake my hand about 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. You shake my hand, in my pocket I got $5 billion. Everyone in the world wouldn't leave the church, would camp out until 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Cholos or no cholos, they'd camp out, huh? But what would happen if I said, I'll say the Mass for you at 3 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, because we don't value it. We value the material over the spiritual. And that's why the exercises are helping us to have a proper priority. As Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else be given you beside. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's move into our meditation for the afternoon. So we've done the two standards, begging for the grace to be aware of the tactics of the devil, as well as to experience the magnetic pull of Christ. We want to experience Christ magnetically almost. We're drawn to Him. And we want to walk under a standard. And hopefully you're going through the rules for discernment with your spiritual director, getting to know the rules better. I gave you a succinct summary of them in 5 minutes. No? But get to know these rules better. Like in the spiritual antenna that shoots up, in which we have to reject the bad and accept the good. The acronym, B-U-T, be aware, understand, take action. Be aware, understand, take action. Bad spirit, reject it. Good spirit, receive it. That's a pretty good butt, isn't it, huh? Then you meditated upon the three classes of persons begging for willpower. Ask the Holy Spirit to fortify you in your decisions to really love God wholeheartedly. Pray for willpower. Ben Franklin used to say, where there's a will, there's a way. Not that he always quote him often, but Napoleon Bonaparte, maybe you read his life, says, the words I can't exist in the dictionary of the idiots. No? I don't quote Bonaparte that often, but I kind of like that, no? The words I can't is in the dictionary of the idiots. Yes, we can in He who strengthens us, right? All things is possible with God. All things is possible with God. All right. Buckle your seatbelts. Okay. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
The three grades of humility. These are the Ignatian classics. The three grades of humility. Two standards, three grades of classes of men, three grades of humility. Now what you have is we're returning to the first 4 days of the exercises. We're returning to those same themes, but we're going deeper. So the literary and spiritual style of St. Ignatius, it's spiral. Being a Westerner, when I write, I write in a different way. I have a title, a catchy title, I give an introduction, then I have the body, then I have a conclusion. That's the way I write. It's the way I speak, too. Whereas the Oriental way is an idea and you go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's the style of writing of Carol Wojtyla, John Paul II. I find Ratzinger and Paul VI easier to read because of the Latin style that I was brought up and raised in my literary training. So we're going to go deeper into the reality of sin. So you meditate upon the triple sin. You meditate upon the capital sins. You meditate upon the last things, death, judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory. Now we're going to be going deeper. What we're really begging for is this. We're begging really for this grace. What is the greatest of all the commandments? Jesus was asked in Luke chapter 10. The greatest of all the commandments is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Than to love your neighbor as yourself. I repeat, the great first and greatest commandment is to love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments that summarize the Ten Commandments. So I'm going to give you somewhat of a different interpretation of sin. Sin is really a lack of love for God, if you like that. It's really a lack, we really don't love God fully and totally. We love persons or places or things, often ourselves, we put them above God. Isn't that idolatry? Isn't that idolatry? Isn't idolatry when we put any person, place, thing, or idea above God? That's my definition of idolatry. And our God is a jealous God. He wants to be loved fully and totally. So we can go back to revisit the topic of sin. And really to beg for the grace to reject sin. Beg for the grace as well as self-knowledge, as I said in last talk, being aware when we're weakest, our kryptonite, when we're most vulnerable. So it's weakness of the will and darkness of the intellect that pushes us into sin. And to be honest, sometimes we like our sin more than practicing virtue. You want a couple of very graphic biblical verses from St. Peter? It almost seems as if he's a New Yorker. He says, the dog returns to his vomit. Did you know? You ever hear that?
Yes.
That's St. Peter. We don't want to be the dog returning to his vomit, do we? And it's true, if you've ever had a dog or a cat, sometimes they actually do return to you. The same thing, kiosco, right?
Yeah.
How disgusting, huh? Another one from St. Peter, the sow, S-O-W, which means a female pig, puerco, cerda in Spanish, okay? The sow wallows in its mire. My sister lived in New Jersey and she had a farm and she had a pig. So I thought I would do a contemplation on the pig. I'd never done that before. I was there for 10 minutes. I was fascinated because the pig was wallowing in the mire. Eating, oinking, going around. I boy, this is great. I'm going to use this in one of my talks. It's exactly what St. Peter says. The sow, the female pig, wallows in its mire. So in a certain sense, I said, sin is ugly, right? Whereas the practice of virtue is beautiful. See virtue as utter beauty. The Blessed Virgin Mary, she's beautiful in body, mind, soul, and all. So draw close to Mary and she pushes us away from sin. Dime con quien anda, te digo quien eres. No? Tell me with whom you are, I'll tell you who you are. So, the meditation this afternoon is the three grades of humility in which number one, you prefer death rather than mortal sin. The second would be to prefer death rather than a deliberate venial sin. Wow. Whew. Death rather than committing a deliberate venial sin. And third would be a willingness to undergo humiliations for the sake of Christ. So, in your meditation, very calmly, say, Lord, help me to avoid sin. You want to make that as part of your prayer. Help me to avoid sin. Help me to avoid any person, place, thing, or circumstance that can draw me into sin. Beg for that grace. We live in a world in which there's so much sin that we become desensitized. Desensitized, that's a psychological word, which means we become accustomed to it. Everyone does it. Well, why can't I do it? Just go with the flow. Follow the Joneses, huh? Go with the flow. And often we live in a family where a lot of our family members are not living a good life. We're surrounded by family members that are perhaps they've abandoned God. They've chosen a sinful lifestyle, our family members. So we're influenced by that. So we have to be willing to be countercultural, not to go with the flow, to be countercultural, to walk in the footsteps of the saints. Walking in the footsteps of the saints. So I'll give you a couple examples in the lives of the saints. The first life of a saint I read when I was a teenager, and I fell in love with the saint. His name is Saint Dominic Savio. Have you heard of him? Saint Dominic Savio. On his first communion he received at 7, this is back in 1850. Back then they would receive communion when they're 18, but he was so precocious spiritually that his spiritual director was John Bosco, allowed him to receive communion when he was only 7 years old. And he wrote down proposals. They were, Jesus and Mary will be my best friends. I will go to Mass every Sunday and receive the Eucharist as often as possible. I will sanctify the feast days. And then, if you like, I'll say it in Italian and then in English. If you want, I could even say it in Spanish. Morire ante di peccare. Almost like Spanish, huh?
Yeah.
Morire ante di peccare. Which would be English for death rather than sin. He preferred death rather than sin. And if you ever have the chance to read his life, he wasn't a wimp. He was out there in the courtyard when the group of these kids were basically cholos that John Bosco brought in from the streets. They would have been the cholos. Yeah, they would have been the cholos because they were from the streets of Turin, and he brought them in. So they weren't any goody two shoes. These were tough kids, no? They were in a group and looked like they were hiding something, and Savio knew exactly what they were doing. They're looking at a pornographic magazine. He went right in the middle of it and he ripped it up and he said, go to confessional, and they obeyed him. Today if he did that, he would probably have been killed. But he had so much love for God and hatred for sin. So much love and hatred for sin that he was willing to suffer that. I could tell you story after story after story of St. John Bosco. You teach by telling stories. He preferred death rather than sin. He did. He preferred death rather than sin. This is my favorite story of Dominic Savio. In the oratory, there were two of the boys. These are tough teenage boys. They'd be cholos. They had insulted, each had insulted the father of the other. So what happened was, they started really get angry at each other. Then a bitter resentment. Then they ended up by hating each other. And they decided that they're going to have a rock duel. Know what that is?
No.
Throwing rocks.
Yeah, they plan to go out to a field, have a pile of rocks with the intention to kill the other one. Yeah. I mean, it could happen to you. I'd have to admit, when I was younger, I could really throw a baseball, probably 85 miles per hour. I mean, it's not like the Dodgers or the Yankees, but I could throw a pretty fast ball when I was younger. So if I could take a rock, I threw it hard, I would kill the person when I was younger. Of course, I'd never had that intention, no? I would kill a bird or something like that, but not a human person. So the day arrived. They went out to the field where they planned. Their intention was to kill the other, already mortal sin. So there they are, about 45 feet from each other with a pile of stones. Guess who shows up? Guess who shows up? Dominic Savio. So they try to do this in a clandestine fashion so no one knows. But Savio was always picking up the vibes, almost as if the Holy Spirit would enlighten him. So he arrives on the scene and he sees them. And he brought a cross. And he put himself right in the middle of both of them. And he lifted up the cross. He said, throw the stones now over Jesus Christ. And they both looked at him and they said, Dominic, we love you. You are a friend. And why are you lifting up the cross? And he said to them, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Jesus Christ was crucified for you. And you're willing to crucify him again and risk going to hell because of this? And he told them, drop the rocks. Drop them. They obeyed him. And they said, look, come here. Shake hands. Shake hands. None of this. And they shook hands and he said, off to confession now. And they obeyed him. For me, it's probably the best story of this meditation. Taking the life of this young saint, he's going to die when he's only 14 years old and 11 months. He's only, you know, he's a teenager. The kids of confirmation we have here. But he preferred to die rather than to commit sin. The worst evil in the world is mortal sin. And the second evil in the world is venial sin. How many of you have children? Would you prefer that your child to miss Mass on Sunday purposely or to be run over and be killed by a Mack truck? Hello? I asked you the question, right? Some of you are kind of struggling with that question.
Yeah.
But you know spiritually that their soul is more important than their bodies, right?
Of course.
We pray that that won't happen. I love to give you graphic images because you're never going to forget them. And I like to give strong medicine. Strong medicine, huh? And that will motivate us to pray and to fast and to say the extra rosary and to offer up our sufferings for the salvation of our children. Amen?
Amen.
Because if we love God, we love what God loves, and that is the salvation of souls. One soul is worth more than the whole created universe. Amen? So I'm going to give you two biblical passages that are the strongest biblical passage in the Old Testament. Are you ready?
Yes.
2 Maccabees 6 and 7. And it is the martyrdom of Eliezer, the older man. Do any of you remember that? And the martyrdom of the 7 Maccabee sons and their mother. This was before the church. They couldn't even receive communion. What a mother! And the mother said, I prefer you to die rather than eat that pork. How many mothers would do that? Well, probably a few of us here, huh? So we haven't arrived at that grade of holiness yet. And she didn't have the Eucharist. She didn't have Marian devotion because they didn't even come yet, no? These are very, very powerful biblical, but it's not my invention. It comes from the Word of God. So let's pray for the grace. Let's pray for the grace to get sin out of our lives. Every time we say no to temptation, we say yes to the love of God. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou. Bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.